to you by Understood.org and the Ad Council.
Hop aboard the English Express. Choo-choo, mother... You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. Be a part of the program by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. Audio files are available online, so you can listen to the show wherever you go. On the bus, in the shower, out back with the pool boy. Wait, what? Let's start the show. All aboard the English Express.
Well, apparently I got a regular liner mixed in with our intros. Oh, well, we got an intro in there.
Yeah, they got to hear both of it. I hope you appreciated the bonus content.
Do you know what this song is?
This sounds like Money.
By?
Dudes from the 70s.
Pink Floyd, my friend.
That was actually who I wanted to say. I just didn't want to sound like an idiot.
Now you sound like an idiot because you didn't get it.
I didn't guess, but that was my first thought, was Pink Floyd. But I thought, no, that couldn't be Pink Floyd.
Well, the reason why I played that one intentionally, because we are starting with the money pile.
Ooh, cha-ching.
Is $100 a lot of money?
No.
It's not. What if you? What if you have $100 every week? Is that a lot of money?
No.
$400 a month.
Yeah, no. $400 a week. That's starting to get okay.
$100 a week. How much do you save? How much do you save every week?
Well, right now my savings egg is already built. Like the amount of savings that I had a goal for has already been met.
Keep on saving, my friend.
I'm funneling all my savings into my debt right now. So I have my nest egg, I have my emergency fund. And so anything that would go to building an emergency fund is invested into like paying off my car, you know?
Okay. So. Well, when you get your debts paid off, if you start saving $100 every week, even though it doesn't sound like a lot of money, and let's say you invested in an IRA or other retirement account that earns a conservative 6%. I mean, that's usually they go from 6 to 10. But if you go with a conservative 6%, you go for 30 years, which is the amount of time you buy a house for. You will save $435,000.
Pretty decent.
And just 10 more years, that $435,000 doubles. So it's a lot of money. You need to start saving, my friend. You say $100 isn't very much. Well, then you should start putting that aside. And then the rest of it funnel to debt.
Yeah. I'll work on that. We'll see. I don't know if I could put $400 a month into saving right now, though, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of people can't. That's why you got to get a better job.
See, when you said, is it a lot of money? I'm like, not if that's all you have.
Well, if that's all you have, that's a ton of money.
No. Yeah, but if it's $400 a lot of money, well, if that's your only income, you're going to find out really quick it doesn't stretch very far. But if you're like, hey, add $400 a month onto savings, in addition to all the other stuff you do in a month. Okay, now $400 is a lot of money. I can't buy a set of tires for a car every single month, you know?
That's true. Well, let's try this instead then. How many quarters do you have in your pocket?
None.
You have none. Okay. How many quarters do you have in the house?
Liberal estimate, maybe 12.
I have at least $200, but I need to start checking these because apparently there's a 1970 U.S. quarter that at first glance appears to be a normal quarter. But as you look closer, you can see one of the most fascinating and intriguing mint errors ever discovered. If you look right above the 1970 on the back of the quarter, there's a 1941 mark right above where the word dollar appears. So on the front, it's 1970, but on the back, it's like kind of stamped 1941. So it's like they just are like stamping the quarters out and it had a problem. And the seller, Mike Byers, is on eBay listing it at $35,000. He says that the 1941 turned 1970 quarter was part of a collection containing a small group of press mistakes originally checked out and released by the Secret Service only to the state of California, which then auctioned off the entire collection. So you might think, like what I was thinking, I'm going to start checking my quarters. But Snopes says that it's going to be a wasted effort because the odd quarter is legit, but it's a proof coin, so it never actually entered circulation. Bummer. Mm. So it is worth something, but you're probably not going to find it in your stack. So I guess
not going to find $35,000 in the couch today. Sorry.
I guess I should put my quarters back in the jar. All right.
Yeah, apologize to your son for breaking his piggy bank. Daddy got excited. I'm sorry.
And he's like, aw. Can you tell a Malbec from a Merlot?
You were just speaking French to me, dude. I don't know what that meant.
Do you?
Ha, that was funny. Anyway.
What was?
Speaking French, it was one. Never mind.
Do you eat arugula with a silver fork? Sir, do you spend weekends on your yacht?
I don't. What the hell are you doing?
if you do those things and know what the hell I'm talking about, you're probably rich and you're probably a snob. And chances are, see,
that makes a lot of sense. Now I know, because I'm very poor. And if you play back the audio, you can hear it that whole way.
Well, I wasn't sure. Because chances are, if you do all those things, you probably live in California. The word from Road Snacks that use scientific data. Why is Road Snacks doing a survey about rich people?
That super confused me. I'm like, what is Cheetos and beef jerky doing here? You don't have a place in this conversation.
Well, they use scientific data to determine which of the 250 largest cities are snobbiest. Interesting. There's only one snobby city in the East, which is
New York,
Washington, D.C. Other than that, all of the snobbiest cities are in the West, and 7 of the 10 are in California. Number one is
Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Yeah, Berkeley. There you go. What was the other one?
I said Berkeley.
Number two.
Yeah.
Can you guess number three? Also in California.
Hold on.
There's a little old lady who lives there.
That's Pasadena. That was a dead giveaway. Yeah. What about Palm Springs?
Not on the list.
Ah.
Okay, so number four is in Arizona. Can you think of snobby cities in Arizona?
I can only think of Phoenix. I don't even know Arizona.
Scottsdale, which is like a city in Phoenix. So it's kind of like if you say Elk Grove or Berkeley is part of the Bay Area. All right. Here's one that's up in our tribe's area. Seattle is number fifth. Irvine, that's California.
Oh, wait, I thought there's an Irvine, Texas.
It is. This one's in California. Washington, D.C. comes in at 7th, followed by Costa Mesa, Santa Clara, where our sister went to school, and San Diego. The West Coast snob is a new creature who's made their money in technology or a high-powered startup. If you're a snob from the South, you take your pride in family money and still go to events like Cotillon. See, this is how not snobby I am. I don't even know how to pronounce a stupid word. It's cotillions or something. And debutante balls.
Oh, debutante to the ball.
They're still doing it in the South. Now, if you're a snob in the Northeast, you're a wealthy, high-class individual who is smarter and more educated and far more sophisticated than you are. Apparently, there are no snobs in the Midwest because they're just populated by friendly people.
Yeah, it's really not hard to be more educated than me. So, you know, no props to you, Mr. Harvard man.
All right. So I also wanted to do a kids pile. Now, you got to tell me if you like this kids pile song.
Today for show and tell, I'm so excited I might yell. Can't wait to show you, it's so cool. I got a carrot, I got a yam, I got a green bean, fresh not from a can. Got a potato, and as you can probably see, I also got a pea. I got a pea, I got a pea. Why is everyone laughing at me? So if you find a little pea on the floor after I leave, I think it probably belongs to me.
If you find a pea on the floor, it probably belongs to me.
Wow.
Okay, that might be a food pile. I don't know. I'm going to have to find a better one, but I love that song. I heard that, and I'm like, I got to use that on the show. So for today's purposes, that's a kid's pile. He did mention show and tell. You do that as a small child.
Normally a child activity.
Yeah. Were you in Vernon, New York in July 1996?
No, sir. I can't say that I was. Can say that I was 9.
Okay. Did you attend a rock-a-thon concert in New York in July 1996?
If I did, it would have been easy to crowd surf.
Is your name Jason?
Yes, in my dreams on Tuesdays.
Well, if your name is Jason from Syracuse, who attended the K-Rockathon concert in Vernon, New York in 1996, your son, Jet Collins, who you never knew existed, he's 18 and looking for you.
Bong.
He wrote a story on Facebook that a man named Jason met a girl named Diana Collins one fateful night in 1996, and right there on the dance floor, he's a product of that concert.
Good job, Jason. That's what's up, buddy.
And she doesn't know who he is or anything about him other than his name is Jason and he's from Syracuse. She didn't even get his phone number. The concert featured acts like the Butthole Surfers, Poe, The Refreshments, and the Verve Pipe.
Love Verve Pipe.
Yeah, they obviously were the headliners. Because I don't think The Refreshments are selling a lot of records today.
Yeah, I haven't heard much from the Poe lately.
The post has already been shared more than 12,000 times, commented on 3,000 times, and I can't believe this. People are leaving the mother negative comments about her sluttiness.
Boo! Screw those people.
Jet says he's gotten a ton of messages already. Even K-Rock radio host Rain Man wants to help because he didn't even meet his own biological dad until he was 21. Listen to K-Rock radio! But so far, none of the help has panned out. So he's still looking for his daddy.
Although, you know, the dad doesn't have that, the weight of responsibility of having to pay for the kid until he's 18. So it's like, come on, dad, step up.
Now he swears he just wants to meet him and say hi.
So. There's not even a negative in it for you. They can't even, you know, take your paycheck away.
All right. How about this one? Judge Jack Wheel, a senior federal administrative law judge, he sees a lot of immigration cases come through his desk, and a lot of them unfortunately involve children, you know, like parents that cross the border and they're illegal, and these are not U.S. citizens. These are like children who were born in Mexico or other countries, but they exist here in the United States. So do they have rights?
Well, they have basic human rights, but not U.S. citizen rights if they're not a citizen.
Okay. Do you think they might need a lawyer to help them navigate the complexities of their individual cases? Because they're judging the 3-year-old and 4-year-olds on their own, a separate from their parents' cases.
Absolutely not. They should not be judging them on. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, they do need lawyers. You should not be taking the children away from the parents and judging them on their own.
What? Well, no, they are. And Judge Jack Wheel says, yeah, they don't need the help of lawyers to advocate for them in immigration and deportation proceedings. You know, teaching these kids their rights just takes a lot of time and patience.
Mr. Sanchez, how do you plead?
Where am I, Your Honor? Where's Mommy?
There's no need for you to get a lawyer.
Right. Do you waive your right to an attorney?
Help me.
French fries.
The handcuffs hurt.
Do you have some cheesy poofs? Do you like Iron Man, Judge? Deported.
Bailiff, take him away.
Yeah, I. All right. For the record, 3-year-old and 4-year-olds definitely need lawyers.
Yeah, I think in all court cases, universally across the board, if you're under the age of 5, you should have a lawyer. Just period.
Next up in the kids pile. Did you do anything stupid when you were a young teen or preteen?
At least twice a day.
Play any rock wars?
Yeah, and plums too.
Hit each other with sticks.
All the time. Yeah, we used to do the rocks with the sticks, and like it wasn't quite baseball because the object was to hit somebody with the rock. Mm-hmm. So like all of us would stand out there and one person would pitch it up and then run backwards, and then the other dude with the stick would hit the rock with the stick, and whoever the rock hit, it was your turn to go and be the stick hitter. Yeah.
How about a down home game called Dodge the Bow and Arrow?
Yeah, we played that.
No, with actual, like, arrows.
Yeah, we played that.
Okay, well, a 15-year-old in West Virginia didn't dodge them well enough because he was struck in the head while playing a game of Dodge the Arrows.
Yeah, at home, we call him the loser.
Shockingly, no parents were around when Caleb and two other minors were playing in the front yard of a home. Sergeant Police.
Oh, you don't do it in the front yard. Come on, man.
Sergeant Police C.R. Supton says, I've been a policeman for almost 25 years. This is the first time I've heard of this game. They were just goofing around and thought it was a good idea, but it wasn't. It was a bad idea, if you ask me. I love how the policeman says that, you know, if you ask me, it's a bad idea, as if that wasn't common sense.
Dude, no. All right, look, Mr. Sheriff, it's still a good game and a good idea. That's just a bad player. The reason you haven't heard of it is because everybody else is good, and now we lost the worst one. So let's go back to the game. We're going to be fine.
Good Lord. All right, and last up in the kids' pile.
Hold on. Go ahead. I just got to tell you, that game is super fun. All right?
How are you still alive?
We really did. We went out to Camp Jack Hazard and we stood out in the middle of like nothing. There's no trees around us, just empty field. And we would launch the arrow like probably 150 yards up into the air, 200 yards up before it turned around and started coming back down. And it's like, it's obvious where it's falling. Just run the other way.
Good Lord. I don't know how you made it through your childhood. Did mom and dad ever charge you rent?
No, I didn't. I moved out when I was 17. Their rule was if you were 18, you had to either go to school or get a job. And if you were getting a job, you had to pay rent.
So it's okay to charge people rent.
Yeah. Their exception was if you're a student, I'm going to allow you to live here rent free. And I think that's fair enough. I agree with that. But other than that, you need to charge rent.
Well, one Reddit user living in Toronto made his mama mad, and she didn't just charge him rent. She charged him $23,000 for college tuition, $1,200 for specialty meals, an $187 share of the cable and internet bill, and $1,000 for being a blank hole and not being appreciative of mother's financial support. Total came to just under $40,000 after she applied 13% taxes.
Oh, jeez.
So he posted the invoice on Reddit.
As children are apt to do.
Yeah, he thought it was one of those things that everyone would appreciate and get a good laugh out of, but he didn't know it would make international headlines. His mom, and this is mom's mistake, she admits she never expected her son to pay the bill. I would be like, boy, you owe me. It was supposed to be.
No, she was making a point. Obviously, the $1,000 for being a blank hole isn't going to hold up in court. I mean, you can't just charge somebody for that.
Well,
otherwise, half the country would be in debt.
I would be in a lot of debt.
Oh, damn. Sorry. That's already the case, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, the kid later wrote, "This is a very effective parenting technique, and it helped me realize what an entitled little blank I've been."
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You're saying that because you have a public audience, you liar.
Yeah, because
you're
guess what? He's still 23 years old and he's still living at home. Who lives at home at 23 years old? Move out. I mean, seriously.
I'm so sure this one invoice from your mom just changed your whole ways. Right. It's not the fact that you have millions of people reading your response or anything.
That guy's an idiot. All right, we got to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with the Animal Pile here on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Get a dollar.
I hate you.
Learning English these days requires cutting-edge thinking, cutting-edge technology, and we don't understand any of it. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience means she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron.
What do you call a boy with no arms, no legs, and an eye patch? His name, you jerk. You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
That's T-A-R-A, Fox the Artist, TaraFoxTheArtist. Facebook.com/ TaraFoxTheArtist. I told you I was gonna. I didn't mean I was gonna record it that way.
Well, you should. You should record it that way.
I'm gonna.
I've heard that before.
Thanks for joining us on the English Express Radio Podcast. I didn't mention at the beginning, join us online at theenglishexpress.com where you can download all of the audio files for shows past, back when we really, really, really sucked. But
you think we're bad now. Listen to episode 3.
or episode 2 where you weren't even there and I had tons of technical difficulties. It was pretty bad. But
I still haven't listened to that one.
You are a failure right here. There we go. Failure. Anyway.
He says, "Man, I'm messing up on calling you a failure. That makes me look like a stronger reporter."
Anyway, you can check out all of those shows. They live forever on theenglishexpress.com. And like the commercial said, share it with your friends. Have you ever called in sick to work?
Yeah.
Have you ever called in sick to work to take care of a sick dog?
No. Oh, no. I've had worse reasons, but never that one.
Well, 85% of pet owners admit to having told their bosses that, "Boss, I can't come in today. I'm sick." but they're not. Their dog is sick, but they don't want to.
That's awful.
They don't want to tell them. So you haven't done that?
No. If your dog is sick, I'm sorry. That sucks. But you still got to go to work.
You don't love your pet? You don't want to take care of them?
Dude, I would barely stay home for my kid.
I wouldn't stay home for my kid at all. I say, all right, here's a DVD of Hogan's Heroes and a popsicle. Good luck.
Wow. Maybe if the kid's like 12, but like a 5-year-old, I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
maybe Columbo for the 5-year-old.
Yeah, that works. Well, what about down in Slovenia where a dog attacked a neighbor going out for a walk and a passerby apparently ticked the dog off and he ran out and was attacked.
Ouch.
Picked up by police. What happens to dogs who attack humans?
Usually destroyed.
What did you do if that's your dog?
Well, I wouldn't have my dog out attacking people, for starters.
If he did, do you just say, oh, well, I guess he's just going to be put down?
You know what? Okay, I'm just going to pull out the harsh side of Brandon and not even mince words about it. If you are so irresponsible that you are allowing your dog off leash outside to go bite somebody, I don't care how quote unquote sweet your dog is. If you haven't spent the time to train your dog to know with absolute certainty that you can recall the dog from any situation, you're endangering your dog's life, the people around you, any animal that may be outside. You need to have control of your dog if you're in a public place. So if your dog, who is not properly trained and not properly restrained, goes off and bites somebody, yeah, it's too sorry, buddy. Your dog's going to get killed and you deserve it.
I hear you. I actually agree with you. But this guy loved his dog. He knew he was wrong, but he didn't want the dog to suffer for his mistake. Because I think that you'll agree, it's not the dog's fault.
No. Well, I mean, not necessarily, no.
He, like it's you said, he wasn't trained. He wasn't properly prepared. And the dog did what dogs sometimes do if they're not trained properly. And I don't like blaming the dog for things like this happening. I blame the owner. So the owner wanted to save his dog. He spent 4 years in court, custody, legal hearings, until finally, after 4 long years, his dog was released back to the owner.
What?
They didn't put him down.
Why would they release it back to that owner?
Because he loves his dog, you know? He fought for the dog. He got his dog back. And that love and the devotion that he gave to that dog was almost immediately repaid by the dog mauling him to death.
Yeah, there you go.
The dogs attacked the guy in his garden and immediately killed him. This time, they decided maybe we should put these dogs down, and they did.
Yes, especially now that there's no one to fight for the dog.
Right? So, you know what? And this reminds me of a time when I was in Russia. I was walking home, and I look across this field. Okay, this field, and I see this small dot getting larger. As it gets closer to me, I realize it's a pack of dogs, and they're barking and running. I kid you not, and I'm like, okay, so I think maybe I should run, so I start running, and they turn trajectory to follow me so they can intercept me. No matter where I go, they're headed right towards
now.
Me.
Yeah. You shouldn't have ran.
Well, no, they were already running. It's just they saw me, they're coming at me, okay? So I decided to take a defensive position. I went backed up to a fence, and they ran up, and they just start barking, you know? And I was, I had, like, my bag and stuff. I was just finished with one of my classes, and I start swinging it around going, like, get out of here, dogs! Because in Russia, wild dogs just kind of roam around. I mean, it's the craziest thing. You walk to the store, and you'll see about 6 or 7 dogs going in formation as they just cruise around the streets of Russia.
It's common pretty cool, sight, actually.
Yeah. Well, not when they attack you. So they're barking and stuff. And one dog, like, lunged at me. and I swung and I hit him right in the head. And I hate hurting animals. I really do. But when they look like they're going to eat you.
In that moment, you're cornered by a pack of dogs who are attacking you. You're fully within your right to clock that dog with a brick.
Well, while I was fighting that dog, one of the dogs went around. He got around me and he bit my leg. And he didn't get like a hold of any of me, but he got a hold of my pants and like ripped it. And so I turned around and I kicked that dog, and he kind of fell down and they all ran away. That was all it took. So, and I got to tell you, I have never in my life felt like this adrenaline, even though they didn't like get a piece of me, like I was amped. So,
yeah, that's one thing I really like about dog tactics when they're fighting. I want to encourage everybody out there who's interested in wild animal attack patterns. Google hyena hunting, how the hyenas hunt. It is amazing. I mean, these guys are like they should be in command of like wars. They're so good at creating diversions, developing flanks, using the terrain to funnel their enemies into a trap. Like they have such like Attila the Hun-esque combat strategies. It's just ridiculous. So yeah, man, that's what the dogs will do. And they probably ran because you broke their front attack and broke their side attack. They're like, well, the front failed and the flank failed. We should probably bail.
And there were only like four of them. So they didn't have like the strength in numbers. So, well, Barbara Sherman, who's a PhD and a professor of behavioral medicine at North Carolina State University, tells you if you find yourself facing a strange canine, watch for raised back hairs. Yep, they had raised back hairs. It's called piloerection, and it's a sign that the dog feels threatened. What about me? I was feeling pretty damn threatened.
Stop worrying about the dogs, man. I have a life too.
They say don't run or stare because that might be perceived as a threat.
Well, yeah, when you said you started running, that was a red flag for me. It's like, oh, no, don't do that.
Well, she says
it initiates their prey drive. It makes them feel like, oh, our prey's getting away. We got to go. It amps them up. So it's like they go to a whole different level that you didn't even have to fight them at, you know?
Well, she says that you need to maintain a neutral stance, put your arms at your sides, have your fingers slightly curled, and if the dog does attack, okay, this dog did not wait. They were in attack mode immediately. You should shield yourself with a briefcase, backpack, or whatever's handy. It not stated.
That's loser right there. That's the person that gets hit by the falling arrow. That's the loser's attitude.
She doesn't say here, but if you read her book, I imagine the next step is to curl up in a fetal position and cry.
Right. Just pray, pretend to be dead and hope that the dog turns into a bear. You'll be fine.
But what you're supposed to do is tempt the dog to chomp down on the briefcase and buy yourself time to back away. But then the dog gets your briefcase. I've got important stuff in there.
Nah, man. I saw this on this great documentary I watched called Next Friday. You stand on top of the car and take your belt off and start beating down at the dog. And that fixes all your problems.
I like that. All right. When you go out in the... I got two more stories left in the animal pile. When you go out in the forest or go outside... Let's say your front yard. Do you ever have mosquito problems?
Actually, no. And I live pretty close to the American, the little creek, Arcade Creek, that runs to the American River. So I'm like, I even have water relatively nearby my house within a mile. And no real bad mosquito problems at all.
If you do have mosquito problems, what do you do to solve it?
Usually I would go to any standing bodies of water that might be around my backyard, maybe a bucket I might have forgot was out there during a rainy season, just make sure I dump all the standing water out. And then I would cut my grass real low so that they don't use the grass at the nighttime or whatever to nestle down.
What if they're coming from somewhere else? Doesn't solve the problem. How do you keep them out of your yard?
I might use tiki torches for the air if I'm actually outside, or just netting on all my windows if I need the windows open. I don't know.
Well, forget all of those nasty bug sprays and tiki torches loaded with toxic chemicals. Instead, you can keep mosquitoes out of your yard this summer with garlic. Best of all, you can do it without wearing a necklace of stinky garlic bulbs around your neck. No, now you can buy a commercial garlic spray that you can put all over your plants and grass. There's no harm in it. Yeah, oh, sure, your entire house and yard will smell like the Olive Garden.
You'll be the neighbor's best friend.
McGrath says that once the garlic spray dries, you won't smell it after about 10 days.
It doesn't really say that.
No. I'm sorry. It takes several hours, but then it deters mosquitoes for only 10 days. That's what it is.
That makes more sense, because I was actually thinking about that. Like, honestly, it's probably just a film on all the crap, right? They probably don't smell it after the delivery agent evaporates.
Yeah, but you got to do it every 10 days. You got to spray it again. Come on.
And, not really worth it.
And he says it only works on plants and grass. It doesn't work on your skin. I'd love to see the guy trying that commercial garlic spray. All right, Billy. Spray me, hose me down with the garlic.
I'm just waiting for the guy to decide, I got a great way to apply this. I'm going to eat it. I'll just mix it with my spaghetti sauce, and that'll keep mosquitoes away from me.
They say, if you want to protect yourself without using chemical repellent DEET, there's a product based on lemon-scented herbs. So you might not smell like garlic, but you will smell like lemons.
You kill me with the way you say herbs. Like, where did that come from? Every time I listen to you say herbs, I'm like, who is this Herb and why is he on our podcast?
Well, what about this guy? His name's not Herb, but it is. His name is Ted. He's 58 years old and he loves parrots. He does talk. He talks like a parrot because he wants to be a parrot. He owns many, many parrots, and he decided to change his name to Ted Parrot Man.
Creative, just genius.
It was Ted Richards, but now it's Ted Parrot Man. But he didn't.
Why wouldn't he go by, you know, Ted Parrot Richard, like Ted Birddick?
Well, he said because that was a derogatory name that people used to call him. Because he would walk around the streets with his parrots so much, people started calling him Ted Parrot Man for years. So he figured, why not legally change my name? That's not all he did. He has now undergone years of plastic surgery and tattooing in effect to look more like a parrot.
Of course he has. That's the next logical conclusion.
He's had his ears removed by a surgeon.
Why?
He's had his eyeballs dyed and horns inserted on his head so that he looks more like the birds he loves. Shockingly, he's not had any contact with his mother and father for years because for some reason they didn't really get along.
What a surprise. Next you'll be telling me he's still single.
He is single. And in fact, his brothers and sisters don't even talk to him anymore. So the way he puts it is, well, since they don't talk to me, I didn't really feel a connection to my family name. So why not change it? He thinks that's the story, his changed name. The fact that he's had it.
All the other stuff is totally normal.
Oh, God. That's the show. Thanks for joining us here on the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online, theenglishexpress.com. Write us emails, info@theenglishexpress.com, and share us with your friends. We'll be back next week. Have a great week. Day, whatever.
It's times like this, I wish I had listened to what my mother always told me.
What did she say?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. We'll be right back.